All right, Sunday morning, 7:10:22. This is a teaching called You Are What You Think. We're going to get into what the Word says about that. All right, the Lord's talking about ministering to people. He says, when you're ministering to people, you will find that they are in the condition that they are in because of what they think. You can just talk to people a few minutes and locate them. In other words, they thought they were sick in their thoughts and they voiced it and they actually became sick in their bodies. You know, a lot of things are blamed on disease and different things. You know, we know all the system, what the lie they've said. But the real truth is the one that is the master of evil, he absolutely knows how to do it. He's been working that plan since the fall, since the beginning, our record beginning. All right, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. I looked up the word destroy right here in the Strong's. It means to destroy fully, to perish or lose. He has no power to just put sickness on you. He must trick you into doing it yourself. This is Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Thinketh right there means to split or to open. And part it on down a few passages from the Strong's, 8179, it's an opening or doorway, gatekeeper. In other words, you're the gatekeeper of your mind. And you have the say of what comes in or not comes in, does not come in. All right? What does James tell us? We'll go over there and look at him. He had some things to say. First, he talks to us about our mind. Then he goes on and talks a little bit about the tongue. All right, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, why would you ask God for wisdom? Because the enemy wants to get a hold of your thinking processes and begin to bombard you with all the stuff and all the garbage you've learned all your life to use against you. All of this propaganda has been for a reason. The propaganda machine. That's why President Trump says the MSM is the enemy of the people. Well, that's Satan's propaganda machine. It's nothing new. They used it in Hitler's Germany. It's been going on since the devil's been around. His propaganda. He's trying to get you to listen to his narrative and whatever you're experiencing. He says he tries to fill your mind with all the horror stories to get you to believe it. All right? That's why you ask for wisdom. What does wisdom do? It gives you the truth. The truth from God's Word. It's not anybody's wisdom. This is God's wisdom. Let me read that again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In other words, well, you're under attack. Lord, what do I do? They give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. See, it's to get you out of wavering, get you unto God's wisdom and knowledge. You know the truth. You should know the truth. The truth should make you free. So the devil's coming with his garbage to cause you to waver. And God's wisdom rises up and says, don't worry about it. You're fine. Give you a scripture. Y'all see that? For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. See, the devil wants to drive you. He wants to drive you nutty. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The splitting of the brain, right here. Before I read the other, the MK Ultra program, especially in children, this is how they train them. They sodomize them. It causes their brain to split. They say people who have been sexually abused, their brains actually split. And I'm talking about physically. I'm talking about it's a mental condition that happens. It causes you to be double-minded. Schizophrenia, in other words. And then when they're in that schizophrenia state, they can control you. Yeah, that's why they do it. So this is that split we're talking about here, thinketh. To split or to open. He's trying to get you double-minded because a double-minded man's unstable. He will never see anything he asks for from the Lord because he's unstable. He's not in faith. Okay. All right, 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So, you see right now, God never has anything to do with any kind of evil that's taking place in your life, ever. Now, he chastens us, corrects us, like a father, a child. You don't take your kid out in the street and say, okay, stick your leg under that car wheel because you acted ugly and let it run over your leg to punish you for something you did wrong. That's what the devil does, not God. God doesn't do that. All right, now let's go over to Genesis 3. We see what happened with Eve. Her mind split. You know, people think, well, we don't know if this was actually a sexual act. We don't know. We know what the Luciferians believe. They believe that the serpent or the green man actually had sex with her, seduced her. It kind of would make sense along with what I just said, but I'm not saying that. It doesn't really matter what we believe about it. It's what they believe, you know. But this is what happened to her. God had already said. All right. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. They lost it. They lost their world right there that day. A simple decision. Whether it was just in the thinking processes. Because you know what? If you think about a sexual act, you know, adultery doesn't just happen. There's some thought put to it. Well, there was some thought put to this. She just took the wrong, you know, we thought, can think it's just like that. A lot of times the Bible's laid out to think it just happened like that, and then a week later this happened. Well, it didn't. It took time for these things to happen. But anyway, it caused her to think otherwise of what she knew. Got her directly off God's course, God's word, God's way, and onto the devil's path. Thanks to her, she ruined it for everybody. Thank God Jesus came. He came in through a door. A door. A portal, if you will. Think about that. Portal. He can't just come in anytime he wants to. He has to have access code. He's got to get your access code to get in that door. She gave it to him. And he ruined everything. Really, she ruined everything. Because all she had to do was say, no, the Lord says don't do it, so yeah, take a hike. She could have sent him packing. All right, go back to John 10. Too simple today? This is what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. See, she chose her master. Don't take a thought saying. She chose her master. Let me read that again. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Yeah. He comes through the door. That door is your mind. You can decide to let him come in the door or you keep him out. All right. A door here means a portal or an entrance. We hear a lot about portals and things today, don't we? I thought about CERN. The good thing about CERN, I've been hearing that it's under White Hat control. And that actually, that's what took out the Georgia Guidestones. Under White Hat control. CERN used for a better purpose than their demonic. They wanted to open portals to let demon spirits in. So it's been dismantled for 3 years, and so they took it over. There was some big explosion that happened, and the White Hats took it over. So I guess they've been working on it to use it for some good purposes. Rods of God, maybe. You know, that's what I was thinking. I know I heard Sheila Holmes, she said that it was lightning, and I guess it could have appeared as lightning, but I don't know. I think it was CERN. So think about the beast coming up out of the pit. This is Revelation 9. How does he get in? How does he get up here and get his do stuff? We're going to see how he does it. chapter 9, verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were like as the faces of men. And they had long hairs, the hair of women, and their teeth was as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. How do these things come up out of these pits? People yielding their minds and their words to Satan is what opens these portals. Like it or not, it's the truth. Just think about what happened in Notre Dame. That sacrifice, I guess, was the night before Easter. 666 children, I guess it was, they were supposed to sacrifice, and they were going to open a portal so the supposed spirit that would inhabit Antichrist, a person, Antichrist, and when the White Hats came in and destroyed Notre Dame, or didn't destroy it, but damaged it where they couldn't do anything there, the bad people said it set them back 1,000 years. I'm thinking Gog and Magog. 1,000 years. And Big Mike's over there across the water drinking wine, and she sees the reflection of Notre Dame in her wine glass. Yeah. See, these people, what they do, what they said, cause this evil to come up on the earth. That Supreme Court decision 2015, it opened stuff like we never thought we would ever see. Trying to put a drag queen in every school. Teaching children critical race theory. Giving children puberty blockers without parental consent. Giving children death shots without the parents knowing anything about it. We never dreamed it would ever be this bad. Things have happened that we never thought could happen. How did it happen? Men's minds. What do you think Genesis 6 is all about? Just listen. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. See, we create, we're made in the image and likeness of God. It didn't just say good. What God created was good, but what the evil one is to harm and to hurt, steal, kill, destroy. And so he's after the minds of men. He's after your thoughts to get you to think wrong. So he can kick you out of everything God has for you, and you just have to put up with whatever woe. Like in Revelation here, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more after. people in their mouths this, and they're thinking. Thinking first, then the speaking. This is why we see the mess we see. And they would think, I mean, if most religious people, I'll say, or even Christians, they don't know what the heck you're talking about. Satan has so deceived them through churches, through commercials, through movies, through television, through the news. They believe anything that ABC Network says. All right, who didn't partake of this? Those that their minds were sealed with the Word of God. I can see a door with the police tape all around it and saying you can't go in there. That's what you have to do with your mind. Devil, you have no entrance here. Like Brother Hagin used to say, a no trespassing sign. He talked about a piece of ground at a campus where people kept walking on it and the grass was dying. So they put a rope and stakes around it and people just stepped over the stakes and kept walking on the grass. Well, somebody decided to put a sign saying, gentlemen wouldn't, and I don't know what it said, but anyway, it was a sign. And when they read it, people started to walk around it and not walk on the grass. Well, he said, that's what I did a long time ago, is put a no trespassing sign spiritually on my body, my mind, and I told the devil, no trespassing here. See, it's a discipline, learning to catch yourself before you've taken the bait. All right, keep going. Revelation 17. Now, what the Lord said to us in the former word about you're getting to the place where you don't use the flesh so much and you're not so much to the arm of the flesh where I can actually use you to do something now. All right, Revelation 17:8. The beast that ye sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. I heard Gene Decode say this, and you can take with it and think what you want, pray about it, whatever. I think it was on about the 26th of June. He said that the timelines were running side by side. And he said they skewed. Things changed. That's when we started seeing the Supreme Court making the decisions and different things happening. He said one goes with Antichrist, the other does not. And I thought, yeah, that's a lot to wrap your mind around. Sometimes I think we have more to do with it than we ever thought. We just thought, well, that's just what it is. This way it has to be. It has to happen just like we've been taught. Or we won't believe anything. No, I think it has to do. God put us down here and we can change things and we can shift things around and speak to things if we want to. We can walk on water. We can be translated in the Spirit if we want to. See, He didn't put us down here and say, well, you can't move out in any of this or do anything. No, I think the book of Acts showed us plainly that there's no limitations on what God's children can do. So just think about that. All right, and they said the human resonance, I don't understand the human resonance, but it's something about the vibrations of the earth, that during that time, there's things that happen that's never happened before, right at that time where the timeline skewed. I have it written down in there as much as I could. I'm thinking, wow, but it does make me realize our thinking, our speaking, we can change things. We don't have to go with the narrative. We don't have to put up with the Antichrist. We do not have to put up with this stuff. We can keep him from coming out of that pit in our lives. See, this wasn't ever God's plan. He never meant this for man. He meant for us to have heaven on earth all the time. For 6,000 years, He wanted us to be ruling and reigning with Him. That was His plan. He came down and visited Adam in the garden, walked with him. That's what He's going to have ultimately in the end. Now, I don't know about the timeline thing. I really don't. The Lord's not really spoken to me anything about it. But I know this. I've heard this man say that he's had timeline changes and people that he knew, that house no longer exists. They're no longer there. He even talks about there was a time where our Capitol and the White House were together. And people say, I don't remember that. And others say, I do remember that. The Mandela effect. All right. Revelation 20. Men have yielded their minds to Satan. And I sadly to say, the church is probably as bad as the world in that respect. Now, there's some that have learned, but there's a whole lot that haven't. Revelation 20, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled after that he must be loosed a little season. So who's to say that the church standing up and saying no more put him back in that pit for 1,000 years? Because when he comes out right here, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. He starts deceiving. As soon as he gets out of the pit, he starts deceiving again. What happens? An insurrection. And God stops it. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Kind of like Elijah, called fire down on them. No, we did this 1,000 years ago. We like not made it out of it. We're not going there again. Back you go. And this time, you're going in the fiery furnace. The lake of fire. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. How do we know it's not because of our faith we partake of the beast and the mark, or we don't? Or the devil stays in the pit, or he gets loosed out of that pit to come and do woes? We don't know that. It's just something to think about. And I just thought about that today. All right. Only way is you give him your mind. You open the door. It's like Brother Price used to say. Yeah, they call me on the phone saying somebody came to the door with a box. You know, they come to the door with a box of snakes. It says on there, snakes, do not open. Well, they open it anyway, and snakes are all over their house, and they're calling me, wanting me to come get the snakes out of their house. Well, it said do not open. Snakes, danger. People do it anyway. All right. His deception is to split your minds. He can control you through whatever method he has successfully used on you for years. Yep. Jesus faced this also as the Son of God. Let's look over at John 4. Jesus was tempted in his mind. Got to be like Daniel, son, when he come to washing the car, sanding the floor, painting the fence, side, if possible, painting the house. Jesus was ready for him. All right, let's start with is that right? John 4? No, that's not right. Luke 4, sorry. Luke 4. Is that right? Yes, it's Luke 4, not John 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. How do you think the deep state's gotten their power? Right there. I just read it. Satan's promised them the power. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all their hands. They shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. You know, sometimes you may feel like it's just day and night, it's day and night, it's day and night. Well, I guess you just better stay at the ready like Nehemiah, day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. Eat with one hand, weapon in the other. Eat with one hand, weapon in the other. Take a bath, one hand, weapon in the other. Because there'll come a time where he will stop and go away. It just said here, too, it was just for a season that he left. That doesn't mean Jesus was never tempted again. It just means that session was over and he whipped him. He did not let Satan into his thinking processes to cause him to rebel against Father's plan for him. Okay. All right. You can locate this man's thinking processes over here in John chapter 5. This is how we start in John 5, not Luke 5. How this started was ministering to people. How do we minister to people successfully? Because a lot of them in all kinds of mindsets, you can locate them just by usually just a few words out of their mouth. John 5. Verse 1, After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. See, what's happening here? He's saying nobody knows the trouble I've seen, and Jesus saying, rise up and walk. He's trying to change the man's thinking processes that has kept him in this condition for 38 years, and a new proposition set before him, rise up and walk. Think about that. You're never going to be able to help anybody until you can get them out of that knows the trouble I've seen. I've been to doctors and all this mess. And get them on another track, another way, well, rise up and walk. You are what you think. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. All right. We see what happened here. Right here, in verse 14, he says, afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come on thee. Lest you lapse back into the old thinking processes, you'll find yourself sick again. Brother Hagin tells about a man that was, I think he was in his 70s, but he couldn't walk and he couldn't hear. And he prayed for him, and he did good for about a week, and he come back, and he was worse than he was before. And he taught him about, you know, the discipline of your mind. Discipline yourself to not let the devil lead you. Not taking his bait. And he saw him many years later in his 80s, and he still could hear, still could walk. But you get into that poor me, that old attitude, especially people that are sick. They have their song and dance, and they have their story to tell you about all the doctors they've been to and all the pain they've been in and all that stuff. Jesus said, rise up and walk. You've got to switch what they're thinking onto God's word, or you're not going to be able to help them. Okay, let's keep going. So you located this man right there, just right out of his mouth. Well, I don't have anybody. Feeling sorry for himself. Kept him in the state he was in. All right, let's look to Matthew 6. There's very few teachings I seem to get away by with without having to go to Matthew chapter 6, because it's talking about which master that you choose. And about your thinking processes about it. All right, 24. No man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't do both. That's a double-minded man, and don't think that man shall receive anything from the Lord. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So taking thought is evil. Bad thought. Not God thought. Bad thought. That's evil. Two masters here, you choose. Door number one or door number two. All right, thought here means anxious about, have care, or careful. Anxious or careful. All right, we're going to read a few more little scriptures. Matthew 9. Nine 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. See, her thinking. She already been to all the doctors. They'd already stripped her of every dime she had. Big Pharma was working back then, too. But she heard about Jesus. And she kept thinking, if I can just get there, when I touch him, I'm going to be well. And he said, it wasn't me that made you well, it's your faith. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Yeah, them faith people over there, they're just blooming idiots. Always saying that stuff. Everybody can plainly see it ain't so. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all the land. All right, let's go to Mark 5. It's a kind of a little different slant on the story. Verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, and she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things with many physicians, had spent all of her she had, was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touchest me? He looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, behold thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. In other words, Jairus, remember what you said. I'll come, I'll lay hands on her, and she shall live. She shall be well. And he suffered no man to follow him, said Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He come into the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth their atonement, and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he saith unto him, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. When he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and sent her to Talitha Kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great admonishment. And Jesus did this, I believe, for Jairus' sake. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Why did he say that? Don't treat her sick. Well, you, honey, you've been through an ordeal. You better not do that right now. We better just, you know, you better just lie there, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, I want to read you something. This is Brother Hagin. Don't undo what God has already done. Think about a carpenter. If he put the foundation of a house down 1 week and the next week took the foundation out, the house would never be completed. Christians are doing the same thing and they're praying. They're undoing what they've already prayed and they're wondering why their prayers aren't availing much. Let me give you a part one of a real life illustration. I was invited to preach at a church in East Texas. Before I got up to speak, the pastor said, "We're going to receive an offering tonight for Brother Hagin." At that moment, a woman in the congregation stood up and said, "Pastor, before you pray over the offering, I feel like we should pray for Sister Blank. She lives next door to me. The doctor came to visit her and said she would not live past midnight." It was 8 o'clock in the evening. The pastor said, "Yes, let's stand and pray for this sister." So we prayed. Then the pastor said, "How many of you believe that God heard you?" Most of the people lifted their hands and praised God that He heard us. All right. The next night, the same thing happened again. This particular woman stood up before the offering was taken and said, "Pastor, I feel that we should continue to pray for Sister Blank. The doctor thought she would die last night, you know. I live next door to her, and I was there at 8 o'clock this morning. When the doctor checked on her, he said, she's past the crisis. She has come out of it. Get her out of bed and let her sit in a chair two or three times a day. She's going to make it." Because of our praying, God touched this woman who was given up to die. Now notice what the woman in the congregation said. She continued, "But she's still terribly weak." Naturally, she would be. She'd been bedfast and had just come through a crisis. We know God touched her all right. Let's pray that God will complete the work. Remember, we prayed for a complete work the night before? Then the pastor said, "That's right. I was at her house to see her today. We know God touched her. Even the doctor admits that she's out of danger and she's going to make it. Let's stand up and pray for her again." As soon as the pastor began praying, I heard the following in my spirit: "Now they've taken her out of my hands and she'll die. Within 3 days, she'll be dead." I knew it was the voice of the Lord speaking to me. On the third day, the woman died, just as the Lord said. You see, we had placed her in God's hands and then we took her right out of God's hands. What should we have done? Instead of praying for a complete healing again, we should have stood in agreement and said, "We're going to stand up and agree that she is well. We're going to thank God for it." That way, we would have stayed in faith. Many times a whole church places a person in God's hand and then turns right around and takes them out of God's hands. God wants to heal the person, but He can't. Why? God operates on certain laws and principles. I'm telling you, I get prayer requests all the time just like that. They'll say, "Would you pray for so-and-so?" "Yeah, we won't pray." "Well, we'll agree this so-and-so and so-and-so." And the next day, "Well, you know, blah, 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 I'll pray this." Blah, 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 blah. I said, Didn't we just pray that? I've already prayed. I'm not praying again. So you got to get people back on point. I'm sure there's many died over just this kind of silly garbage right here. All right, let's keep going here. Here's some right thinking. Well, we already read that. Jesus encouraged him to keep thinking right, Jairus, and said, "Make sure you start treating her like she's well. Don't coddle. You coddle people right into the grave. Don't let them. Don't let them mentally. Don't let them physically. I'm not going to sit by and watch someone, one of my loved ones, go through that. I'm not going to do it. If I knew what I knew now, I'd be over there telling Evelyn, get your butt up out of that bed and get out of that bed right now. We're going shopping. We're going to go get some flowers. You're going to get out in that backyard and you're going to plant some flowers. You're going to live and not die." Sometimes I think, "Lord, I wish I'd have known what I know now. I could have helped her." And others that have gone before, just go to bed. Don't get up. Don't let them do it. You're here for a reason. You're for this time and season. Don't let anybody do that. Tell them, "You're not going to die on my watch. I will not allow it." Sometimes they just need somebody to kick their rear a little bit. Just get them up and get them going and say, "No, we ain't going down that." How do you get there? You're thinking. You die in your mind first. You get sick in your mind first. You're broke in your mind too. Think about it. All right. Not treating people well that have been prayed for is why so many are now in the grave. If we're going to successfully minister to people, we have to get them in the right camp to receive. There's another one. I didn't copy this one down, where Brother Hagin's dealing with a man and his wife, and she had already had two surgeries, facing another one, and the doctors had already confided in him that they don't think she was going to make it this last time through a surgery. But anyway, they'd been listening to his broadcast on the radio. They'd tune in. He'd be going to work. She'd be at home. They'd tune into the radio broadcast, and they had come to the conclusion, they prayed if it was God's will that he'd heal his wife. Well, he had to sit them down on the pew and in a chair and talk to them for a good while before he would ever pray for them. He had to make them see that their prayer was all wrong. Well, if it's God's will, he'll heal us. Well, it is God's will to heal. He already did. So he had to make them see through the Word of God. And the guy said, well, that whole prayer ain't worth a dime, is it? And he said, you're absolutely right. Where does that come from? Just religious thinking, religious teaching. It sounds good, but it is from the pit. No, he had to get their minds on track with what he was saying and with the Word of God, and then he prayed for her, even though she didn't get instant manifestation. It took her about 3 days. But she just kept laughing and saying, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm well, I'm well. And she couldn't move. He had to pick her up and carry her to sit her place. She had to wear a brace. She threw the brace in the closet, said, I don't need that old thing again. She was acting well as much as she could. I mean, Brother Hagin has multiple stories like that, just in that health food alone, of these type of situations. If you can get the person on your faith line, faith page, Word of God, don't have to be complicated. Just get them out of that old stupid thinking that they've picked up along the way. We all have. We've had to be deprogrammed. All right. I have had people ask me to pray and then a few days later ask me to pray again. I try to get them to just stay in agreement with the first prayer we prayed. If you can't, then it's counterproductive. I mean, you just might as well be praying, like Brother Hagin said, twinkle, twinkle, little star. That's just about the same power in that kind of praying, that kind of saying. Sickness can only come in from the thoughts. The thoughts. Where it starts. It comes against the mind. If you open the door, it will come in. You must use your weapons, and these weapons aren't medicine and food, etc. Now we're going to read some scriptures. In fact, these are the God's medicine scriptures. So you can either turn with me or you can just listen. All right, the first one I'm going to read is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. See, just going to the doctor and getting some medicine is not going to change the thinking process. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the putting down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. Thought. All right, I'm going to start here with John 5. Eight and nine. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. In verse 12. They asked him, What is that which he saith unto thee? And the man said, Take up thy bed and walk. He just did what he said. He acted on the word. Okay, James 2. These aren't the God's medicine yet, but we're going to read these and then we'll do that. James 2, 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If For brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Okay, let's keep going. James 1, I already read James 1 to you. We'll go on to Proverbs 4. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. You know why you get upset? Because you're not inclined to his sayings. You're listening to the devil's sayings. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left, remove thy foot from evil. See, that is what, whenever the devil talks to you, he's to try to get your focus off of the goal before you. Get you off the path. All right. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All right, Matthew 8, which is basically the same thing. You know, it's just amazing to me that you can't get someone to take a God's medicine and read it a couple of times a day, but they'll go and sit in a doctor's office. They'll do whatever the doctor tells them. They'll take all kinds of medications, not having any clue what they're putting inside of them. They'll even submit themselves under the knife and let them cut on them and do all this stuff and have to go through weeks and weeks and weeks of recovery and everything. But they don't have time to read God's medicine for a couple times a day. I don't understand that. I would think you'd want to avoid anything like that. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. We live in a world today where we have been used to everybody doing everything for us. And it's the same way when someone's sick. They just want everybody to do it all for them. They don't want to do any effort on their part to do anything. No, they'll pop a pill or have a procedure done. But to exercise any discipline on trying to get well themselves, they won't. I've watched it. It's sad. All right. Remember the word the Lord said to us, because we have been diligent in the word, this is what we are to expect. It's about living long and living strong. That those who sow to righteousness will reap life. Those that sow to the flesh, death. It's the truth. You know, you reap what you sow. You sow to righteousness, you're just going to reap good things. If you don't, you won't. All right, let's keep going here. This is 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, shall live unto righteousness. By his stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13. Some have just been under the narrative so long they can't believe anything else. Well, my grandpa had it, and my pa had it, and now I have it. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the curse, through the new birth, we're no longer under that curse of sickness or disease and poverty. All right, Exodus 15:26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I'll permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Yeah, we know they were spared all the plagues, all the bad stuff in Egypt. How much more will we be spared? A better covenant based on better promises. Exodus 23:25-26. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Yep. Okay, Psalms 91. Verse 10 and 16. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. One that I say quite frequently is in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. Mm-hmm. 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. All right, 103, Psalms 103, 2 and 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases. Here's a good one for teeth and gums, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. 107:20. We have a book somewhere that has all the scriptures for every part of the body. 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And I like what the result, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Matthew 7:11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? He doesn't give bad, just good. James 1:17. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't turn. That's why I don't believe in the spinning earth. God doesn't turn. The devil is the one that's the twisty serpent that skews everything. All right, Matthew 8:2-3. These aren't in order, sorry. 8:2-3. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. All right, James. All right, wait a minute. Don't lose my place. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. John 10:10. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, destroy. Okay, Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Part of the gospel of the kingdom is healing. It's in our commission. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. All right. Okay, Matthew 15:30. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. All right, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change his mind. What he said in the beginning is still the same today. All right. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Pretty strong. Anything? Mark 16:16. Starting with 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. 3 John 2. John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. See, if your soul's not prospering, there's your thinking processes again. If that ain't prospering, it says, as your soul prospers. Do you come up higher in your thinking, you're going to see a greater manifestation of healing, health and healing in your body. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. All right, Mark 11. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Not like that people of that church. Believe it when you pray. How do you gauge if you're healed? What if you're still having symptoms? You say that, but what if you're still having symptoms? Are you praying for healing? Right, you're already healed. Is it based on the lack of symptoms? We base it on what God's Word says about it. Right. When we think we are well, we are well. No, not hope so, but all is well. Like the little lady and her son was raised from the dead. All is well. I want to look at the word heart here. We read Proverbs 4:20-27. It said, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Heart there is also used very widely for the feelings, the will, and even the intellect are the center of anything. Like it is our production center. Yeah. Let me just read that. This is Proverbs 4:20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. This is what I'm talking about here. For their life unto those that find them, a health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart, same reference, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Right here, chapter 5, verse 1 goes right with it. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear unto my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. What's he saying here? Keep your mind and your thinking on God's wisdom, God's knowledge, God's word. And don't let anything else sidetrack you. Because your heart is your production center. That's your thinking processes and your intellect. That's where he trips people up right there. Okay.